Good morning. It is my huge privilege to introduce again very good friends of Ross and myself, and we want to welcome you, Danel, Deval, Alwyn, Maynard, Lucas at the Children's Church. They've been very good friends of ours for many years, and I was trying to sort out exactly how long this morning, but it's been long. And they actually planted the Malmesbury, or went to the Malmesbury area and planted a church from this congregation. And I was trying to think, there's lots to say about them. There's a very long list of very good things to say about them. But as I was thinking on it this morning, I think the one thing that's very prominent when I think of them is that they are constant, and that they live lives that are, it's well thought out. They actually spend time with God, whether it's for their marriage, whether it's for their work, the church, their family, the congregation, or whether it's the area of Malmesbury. They plan it. They set time aside. They pray, and they passionately seek God for everything that they do. And we can see it in the fruit in your lives. It's been, we've been looking and watching and observing for many years, and we know the trials, we know the difficult times, but we can see even in the men that you have in your house now, they've even got their own testimonies of what God is doing. So I want to honor you for that. I want to honor you for your steadfastness, for the passion that you seek God with and that you live with, and we want to say that we can see the fruit. As the Bible says, you will be known by it, and that's what you are known about, and it's not just in the Christian circles that you are known for that. It's in the secular, it's in your work, it's in the Malmesbury area. And we want to say we acknowledge that. And we gladly welcome you here this morning.
Nou is ek alleen nie so. Ga jy nou kom? Okay. Thank you, Margriet. And Ross, it is... A great honor and a privilege for us to be here with you guys again this morning. And yeah, when I come here, it's always wonderful to be generously received in every way. And Ross and Magri teaches that to Danelle and myself, to be generous with your life. And that's who they are, that's what we experience, that's what you guys are here. So thank you so much for doing that for us, and we love you. I love you very much. Those are my two eldest boys. Usually it's just a picture. Stand up. Yay! You like how I'm here, sit? Okay, so it's great for me to come here as well. You know, I know a lot of your faces, but most of you I know from way back when, and now you're coming here, it's like, oh, you didn't. You have bred well, okay? So great to see all of the fruitfulness in this congregation. And and thank you so much, Melissa, for the prayer. You know, it's obviously deeply in my heart, you know, just fathership. But those of you that that want to be fathers and are not, or, you know, cannot be, you know, it's something that you become in your heart. Okay, obviously there's fruit in the loins as well, if that's that. But, you know, eldership is something that really embodies, there we go. Not abolish, okay, embodies fathership. Aspire to that. It is a good thing, especially as men, to do that. So, this morning we're going to speak to you about his and hers. And I know that you guys are in a whole sermon series about relationships and marriage and a lot of things. And this morning we're going to speak to you guys about masculine and feminine. That's what Danelle and I are going to speak to you guys about. And just our experience, you know, regarding a lot of things, regarding to that. And, you know, we built a little bit differently than the norm. And we figure out our life as we go, and like I told her, now I think we're in a very cruising phase at the moment. My youngest is turning 9, and I say, we have reached freedom. And we can do a lot of things that we couldn't do a couple of years back. So really a privilege for us to do this together. So when Danielle and I speak about masculine and feminine today, we're going to discuss and kind of build around two aspects and two things, building, focus on. But the one is submission and the other one is building itself. So try to apply your masculinity, your femininity, and listen as we tell our stories, as we share some scriptures with you. Just try to see yourself into those things that we're going to share about. So those of you not married, I know that it's mostly when we speak about these things, it's in the context of marriage, but we're going to try to not do that this morning, so that those of you that didn't stand, that don't have, I was looking, I'm thinking, oi, I am a bit old now, because most people are sitting. So we're going to speak into those things. Let's just pray before we start. Father, thank you that we can be here, God. Lord, as we open your word, we pray, Lord, that you will come in and break open, Lord, for every heart, what needs to happen in our hearts this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, for those of us masculine, Holy Spirit, that you will come and bring revelation this morning. For those of us feminine, God, Holy Spirit, we ask that you bring revelation this morning. Father, I pray, Lord God, for keys, Lord, keys to unlock, Lord. Keys, Lord God, for us to be the people, Lord God, that you meant us to be. And I pray that in the holy name of Jesus this morning. Amen. So, we find a lot of scriptures about submitting to God. And I've just chosen two. So, when speaking about submitting, Danielle is going to continue a little bit later on that. But it says in James 4 and 7 and then Job 22, 21, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil. And then the last part of that says, and he will flee from you. And then Job 22, 21 is a beautiful one for me. It says, submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Now, the longer I'm submitted to God, I'm looking at my life, and it's kind of like this last month where I've started to think about our life in submission to God over a long time. And like Magriet said, it wasn't easy. You know, there were a lot of trials and things, and there might be a lot still coming. But when we look at our life that has been, you know, from a young age in submission to God with our faults and everything, we can really see the prosperity of God in our lives. We have got rich relationship with one another, with our children, with friends. You know, it's really something to live a life submitted to God. Now, I'm going to read a portion of scripture, the one that I told you that is in the context of marriage, ultimately where we find this, but I want you to see where Peter builds up to. It says in 1 Peter 2, verse 13, he says, be subject, okay, submission again, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the emperor. So Peter starts with this scripture, this piece of scripture. He says, listen, be subject, submission to these things, human institutions. You know, and sometimes it's difficult for us, especially in South Africa, I'm not going to go into that, but it's difficult for us to be in submission to human institutions because we think Jacob Zuma spent just 2 hours in jail. So unfair! How can I submit to something that is broken? And we get ultimately to the marriage, and it's the same thing, you know, again, the context in which Peter is starting with submit to the authorities. So I'm speaking to us as masculine and feminine. We always want to take this where it says, you know, wives, submit to your own husbands. But think about it. Think about the way in which Peter positions this. If all wives will only submit to their husbands when their husbands don't have any issues, we will have zero submission. I can give you a brief with a pulley stamp up. That is a pulley stamp on a letter. Because if you want to submit to something that is perfect, you will only submit to God. But this context is amazing because Peter writes, he says, be subject for whom's sake? For the Lord's sake. To every human institution. And I want to build on this today because there's a massive key there. If we are subject for the Lord's sake, to the things, to the institutions, something happens inside of us. Something, you know, there's a lot of power that is released when we start doing this. Let's go on. Then he goes on, he says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. And then he goes on to say, what credit is it if you are beaten and, you know, you endure that? But if you do good and you suffer for it and you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Okay, so he says there, you must submit to your unjust masters as well. Now, obviously, you guys know this, but I'm just going to say in the context, we don't have slaves anymore, but most of you are working as slaves at the very moment. And the same thing happens and applies in that context. You will not be having any gracious thing to give if your mindset of submission is only to those who deserve it. Okay? If your mindset of submitting to something, to some institution, to some master, to your husband ultimately, is one of, you know, if you are worthy of my submission, I will submit to you. You know what you call that? Arrogance! Pridefulness! The fallen human nature. So Peter builds, up until marriage, everything is about submission to worldly institution for whose sake? The Lord's sake. You know, we say so easily, you know, in you know, the folks want, as people just speak, you know, for the Lord's sake, do that. And it's kind of like a swear word. But Peter says, listen, live your life in submission for the Lord's sake. Because then it goes on and it brings a lot of, you know, keys of unlocking a lot of things in this passage because of hearts that are submitted to fallen institutions. Where you can change your master, your boss, you know, your boss that is over you. When you can change his life and his heart because of the way that you submit, not necessarily unto him, but for the Lord's sake, unto him. You become powerful beyond measure when you get this right. And that is for masculine and feminine, where we submit unto God for the Lord's sake. So I'll stop here. I'm going to hand over to my pretty, beautiful, awesome, wonderful wife that she can speak nice and gently to you.
Jy het al die plek hier opgevat. Sorry. Vir my. Nee, dis myne. Good morning. It's lovely to be with you again. I was thinking this morning, my very, very first sermon that I preached was in this congregation. Many years ago, it was not in this venue. My very, very first Bible school teaching that I presented was in this congregation. And when we left here, I was like that much expecting Maynard, the eldest that's sitting here. So it's good. It's always, it feels like home when we come and visit here. So I'm touching on the femininity side, and it feels like a tongue twister. So it's our best English that we brought from Almesbury today. We're not used to English. We use it as self-defense. So please, please forgive us when femininity later sounds like something else. I didn't do all my exercises this morning for the mouth. So I know in this congregation we're used to reflecting. So I want you to take like a very swallow, flock, shallow reflection. Like you don't have to go deep, but just to think about femininity, what comes to mind. So I only started and became aware of femininity late in my 20s, at varsity still. And my first reflection of it was like frilly dresses, lots of ribbons, very girly stuff. That was my association with femininity. And it didn't serve me well because it was fairly unpractical for me. So I felt like a disconnect to it. I can see Margaret smiling. I think it's the same. So maybe your reflection is something like more of the woke agenda that's influencing it, and it's speaking about the way you identify. Maybe you're going into more of a female energy. So that's a buzzword going around. I remember at work recently, we were called, all female leaders were called into 5 sessions. We had to sit through 5 of those sessions on FemQ, like female intelligence in the workplace. And the concept that was being taught was everything in the workplace has become about facts and figures and hardcore things that you can measure. And the female energy is around intuition that you're bringing in the workplace. So when you present a business case, don't just come with the facts, tell the people how you feel. That was kind of the story. I didn't enjoy it that much. I left some of the sessions. It was very new age. But maybe that is your relation to femininity. When I started working, and I wasn't married at the time, I joined a corporate environment. And I remember my office, day one in my office, was next to an elderly gentleman's office. And he called me into his office, and he asked me a little bit about myself. I was 23 when I started working. And he looked me in the eye, leaned forward onto his desk, and he said, "You will never make it. You're too soft." And that was my introduction to femininity in the workplace. I was perceived as weak. So many of us may think about femininity as weakness. Maybe that's your point of departure. And that day, I made a decision. I almost made I resolved to say, I will make it because I'm not weak. But it was a dangerous journey that started in my heart. I started to compete in a male's world like a male. I was quick to make decisions. I was quick to stand my ground. But I realized that I'm growing such a thick skin. I'm no longer loving who I am becoming. Because when I go to my parents, or at that point I've met Deval, when I engage with him, I have to kind of undo what I've been practicing in the workplace. And surely that can't be a way to live. And I ask God around a journey. How do I become and remain feminine, but work in a place where I believe God has called me to, and not be weak and fulfill my mandate? And I remember Like when I quote the scripture, I quote it in the translation that I read back in those days. It's always so nice for me because I tend to change the translations of the Bible that I read. So I almost have like a decade or a period of time linked to it. But it's Philippians 4 verse 5, which says, "Let your gentleness be made known, for the Lord is near," or "the Lord is at hand." And that was my first key. That was the only thing I heard from God relating to femininity. And I put it on my fridge in my flat. And that was my step one. I said, "Lord, make me gentle. Make me gentle. Let your gentleness be made known to me." And then I started reading just Proverbs 31. And ek het gesien, daai vrou het gewoeker. I don't know how to say that. Like, she was a hustling lady. She did lots of things. It wasn't a stale lifestyle. And I started to embrace that journey. Fast forward 2 or 3 years later, I just entered into a leadership position at work. And I was part of a team, an all-male team. And then I was the only leader that wasn't a female in that space. And again, I was tempted to adjust my style a little bit because it's now a new space that I need to fit. And I remember how God said, "Just bring yourself, bring yourself, bring yourself." And shortly after that, one of the manager of that team called me into his office and he said, "Danelle, you know what? You walk the corridors slowly." And that was his way of recognizing the feminine, a submissive heart to God. But it was me showing up in the workspace in a feminine way, caring for people, nurturing people, seeing people, actually just cultivating a space for others to flourish, because that's who we are. And he said he wants to become that. And it was a bit of a journey. And then later on, we agreed that I bring that to the team. He brings other things to the team. So coming back to the word submission that Yvonne spoke about now, my experiential reality is that even though I decide to submit, it doesn't make me submissive. Because where submission plays out is in a space where you don't agree. Yeah? If we're in agreement, no one has to submit because we're seeing the world the same thing. If we disagree, I now need to submit. And then my reaction is like a reflex. You know, it is something that comes out of me. It's not something I can decide. So that led me to deduce that submission must be a fruit of something. It's not a decision. It's something that grows over time, which helps me when the going gets tough to respond as a reflection, as a reflex in a submissive way. And I realize when I feel safe, it's easy for me to submit. So I started pursuing security in Christ as my weapon to remain feminine, to remain submissive, and to feel secure. Now, there's been times in my life where I didn't feel secure, not in the workplace. And then what happens is I respond in a controlling way to get a handle on things. There were times in my marriage, you know our story about Deval's previous addiction relating to pornography, and that did not make me very secure in that portion, that state of our marriage during that time. And my first reaction, my first reflex was control and wasn't helpful in that situation. I had to grow to a point where God taught me to be secure in Him, so therefore I can be secure in my marriage because He gave that marriage to me. Therefore I can feel safe. Therefore I can continue to submit. So ladies, maybe that's a key for some of us here today, is When your husband is harsh, or when your boss is harsh, or when the government is harsh, it's easier to submit when you are secure, knowing that God is ultimately in control. I'm busy working through the book of Daniel for the gazillionth time. It's my favorite book in the Bible. And the thing about Daniel is he knows that God is in control of who is in control. And that was the thing that gave him security. That was the thing that helped him to continue. Let's go back to 1 Peter 3. Likewise, wives, and I know Duval said wives, but I want to say take the liberty to read there, likewise, females. Let's be subject to our own husbands, so that if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct. Just want to pause there. So there's a winning that happens. It means there's something that you compete for that can come to you as a result. And for me, that's a kingdom mindset. It's living a life to demonstrate something that others want to be a part of. And that's not only in our marriage. It is in our broader society as well. And then verse 3, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of the hair, the putting on the gold, jewelry, or the clothing that you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Verse 5, for this is how the holy woman who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. I realized I listened to Andries and Lise's teaching, was it last week? And she also touched on it. So Deval said, don't listen to it because she will touch on it and then you don't want to say it anymore. But what I did, I listened to it at 2 speed. So she just quickly touched on it. So I thought I can still bring it back. I want to use this scripture as what I believe is the root of a tree that can grow in your life that will eventually yield the fruit of a submissive nature. Verse 5. The holy woman doesn't say holy wives, it says holy woman. So it's us Christian females. The holy woman hoped in God. Key number one. The root of the fruit that we want to produce in our lives comes from a place of hoping in God, knowing that His promise is true for us, knowing His promises. It does not say my hope is in my husband or my hope is in the hope of getting a husband. My hope is in God, and that's the root of the security and the submissiveness. And in praying for you guys this morning, I just sense that someone here is really hoping not to be lonely. I just got the sense of a person that's really lonely. And I just spent some time praying for you, and if it's you, please, after this service, just come and connect with me so that I can, I just have a burden to pray with you so that you won't feel lonely and that you can hope in God to provide in that need for you as well. Proverbs 31:25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. So that means it's written to us. Very few things in the Bible is written in the feminine, even though lots of it and everything applies to us. She laughs when she looks at the future. Her future is not bleak. Why is her future not bleak? Because her hope is in God. The second key, back to 1 Peter 3, verse 6. Sarah and her daughters, they did not fear anything that was frightening. So the first thing I saw there, it was not that nothing was, that there was no frightening thing. They did not fear anything that was frightening. So it means frightening stuff happened, but they didn't fear. So I see that thing that as a root, as I hope in God, this tree grows a trunk of fearlessness. And as I spent the time in the Word, this thing grows inside of me, making me less and less fearless when frightening things happen. Then the third thing, another like a branch out of this tree, is a focus on an internal adornment. It is an adornment of the heart. So it also says don't let your adornment be merely external. So it doesn't mean like you're not allowed to do that. But it's a pursuit of an internal adornment first, which will yield that gentle and quiet spirit. I see that as a like a tranquil spirit. And yeah, that's a hard thing for me. I think it relates to our personalities as well. But I find it hard to maintain in a space of tranquility with a gentle and a quiet spirit. I get times where that shows, but the more I put my hope in God and let go of a fearless nature, the more that gentle and quietness is the output of my life. And then the fruit is your spirit will express itself in a unique kind of submissiveness. Not only a submission in an event, but a lifestyle of a submissiveness to God, to your husband, to leadership, to the people around you. So I have a quote here that I wrote, and I asked the vault to check it for me for theological correctness, because it's something I made up. And then he changed the words a little bit, so I feel more secure in the thing. But it was something that I saw happening in our lives. When our eldest son became a teenager, he started to relate a little bit differently with me. And the vault took him and taught him a lot of things, which they will speak about later. But one of the things he taught him is you need to learn to value your mother's voice. So he actually taught us, or is still teaching our children, to learn to value the feminine. And what I wrote here, I said, if the feminine regards the lead of the masculine, we will learn to follow God. And if the masculine regards the comfort and the nurture brought to by the feminine, they will learn to receive comfort from the Holy Spirit. And that's a win-win situation, which becomes a positive spiral in our community. I want to close by just sharing a specific word that I felt that morning. I was spending time with the Lord, and I received this scripture from Job. The other day, someone in Malmesbury called it in English, Job. Job 11. And I received it that morning when Ross asked us to come to this session. And I just felt like that specifically for this congregation. It's Job 11 from verse 14 onwards. It says, if you prepare your heart, see an inner adorning. You will stretch out your hands towards him. If iniquity is not in your hand, put it far away and let not injustice dwell in your tents. Surely then you will lift up your face without blemish, and you will be secure, and you will not fear. You will forget your misery. That speaks to a new hope for me. You will remember it as waters that have passed away. And your life will be brighter than the noonday. Its darkness will be like morning. So you will shine and win people over into the kingdom. And you will feel secure Because there is a hope. And you will look around and you will take rest in security and you will lie down and nothing, none will make you afraid. That no fearlessness and many will court your favor. When I was 21, on my birthday, someone gave me a book from Edsel Silvoso. It was called Woman, God's Secret Weapon. Don't know how many of you read it. I read it back in my 20s. And as I was preparing for this, I took out this book from the bookshelf again, and I kind of scanned through it. It was interesting to see the things that I highlighted in my 20s. Never worked through that book again. But something that caught my eye was one of the last chapters in the book where it says, the secret power of a woman is realizing that our primary responsibility is building men. And if we are building men, they are stepping up and we will feel secure. And that becomes a cycle. So I want to encourage us as the feminine not to look into feministic traits, which is controlling, harsh, and disrespectful, but to get to a place where we know that our hope is in God, therefore we can be secure. Therefore we don't have to fear anything frightening, and therefore we can produce a fruit of submissiveness, which for me is more than just submission in the moment. A yielded heart, which will empower our families to build. And back to you.
Yes, give on a clap. See, now I have to follow that. Jammer for me. Unlucky. No, very lucky. No, I'm really blessed. That is the right word. And so, like Danielle said, when we start to understand just masculine and feminine, you know, in the way that God has, you know, made it to be, we become powerful. And, you know, I want to start to speak just a little bit more into the masculine orientation now. I'm going to speak about building, and that means, you know, ladies, you also build in a feminine way, but I'll get to that now because, you know, that's what we need to do. But firstly, you know, masculine and feminine obviously have got their origin, their meaning, their purpose, everything in God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our own likeness, and let them have, dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds in the heavens and the livestock and over the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God's image is represented in male and female. Okay? It doesn't mean that if you are just male and you're not married, or you're just female and not married, that you cannot represent God. But as we see here, male and female, all of us, we represent the image of God. Now, God has given us dominion. Now, it sounds bad, you know, but initially, we were given dominion over everything. To rule and to reign, to look after, to care for, to build, you know, that type of dominion was given to us. We gave it away, and Jesus had to come and take it back. Good. So it's in that space where, you know, God wants us to get back, at least in our own hearts, and that to a building mindset. Because Revelation 21, the end of the book, Jesus says, he says, and while he was sitting on his throne, he said, behold, I am making all things new. Jesus is building even now, continuing with us, male and female, masculine, feminine, the church, making all things new. And what is great for me about Him not making new things. Okay, just get the nuance there. Jesus didn't say, behold, I'm making new things. Sorry for you. You have been done and dusted. Cheers. I'll make some new ones because you weren't good enough. No. Jesus says, behold, I'm making all things new. And that is the journey that we have, you know, that is the mystery that we will have when we get into heaven, which will be this earth, which I'm very glad about. Anyway, not going to that now. So, God has called us to build. I want to read you this scripture in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 14. It is absolutely astonishing. The whole Bible is astonishing. This is awesome. Okay, let's read verse 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed to how he builds on it. So let's just stand there for a moment and think, how are you building at this moment? So he says, take heed into how you are building on it. So it's not a question of where you should build. Okay? You build on Christ. But are you taking heed, masculine or feminine, of how you are building at this very moment? For no other foundation can anyone lay than the one that was laid, which is Jesus Christ. Obvious. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, make your pick, which one is yours? Each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Now, this is an amazing promise. When we live as male and female, and we get the mindset that we are building, it's so easy to break people. But to build takes time. I don't know who's built a house here before. I've done that. It takes time. And it takes something from your marriage as well. But we need to build on the right foundation. And whatever we build on that foundation, regardless of, you know, the means by which we build it, if it is built in faith on Christ, it will withstand. And God has given us a way to build. He's given us Ephesians 4, 7 to 12. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led the host captive and he gave gifts to men. And then I just said there, skip the brackets, okay? Because then there's brackets in your Bible. He gave gifts to men. What were the gifts? And he gave them apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. God is a builder. He builds through us. And guess what? If we, now I'm speaking to a we, if we as apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, or pastors think in any way that I am greater than thou, what actually happens? There's no building. There's a breaking. God is a builder. And he wants us to build in a certain way. He wants us to bring what we've been given as gifts to build. Okay, so I just wanted to make that clear before I get to the men. I know you have been sitting there thinking all these feminine things and nice and okay, getting there. So, God has also given us, like Danella said, you have been made male or female, masculine or feminine, with a certain perspective on things. Ladies look at things differently than men. When we walk into this year mall right here, the ladies see a lot of things. The men only see one thing. There's a little chair there. And I shall sit there while she peruses everything. Help me with the right word. What is perused it? Perusing sounds a little bit marriagey for me. And this is about masculine and feminine. Okay. So, when we build, remember, like I told you guys just now, when we as the fivefold ministry start to compete with one another, we actually break down. Okay? So I don't have to make the link, but I will do it anyway. When we as masculine and feminine start competing with one another, what do we see in the world? Destruction. And ladies, it's not against you. Men, it's not against you. It's just a competing of trying to be something that you weren't created to be. And then it brings destruction. Because that's what Satan does. He uses what God has given for beauty, for building, for being wonderful. He warps it so that he can break down, steal, kill, destroy. And that he does through masculine and feminine. But when we start to build together as masculine and feminine in our unique way, not trying to be something that we weren't created to be, we start to build. We start to build communities. You know, if we have communities that understand masculine and feminine and building each other up, like Danielle said, in the way created to be, then it becomes a great place to live in. So what does the masculine look like? And I've spent some time with Maynard in this, and Alvin and I, we're going to start this journey soon. He's also almost turning 13, about a year and a little bit, going still. But I've seen in myself when I had to, you know, that's what makes children great. Especially when you're a pastor. When your kids ask you something, you cannot give them the theological answer. You need to package the theological answer in a way that they can understand it. And all of a sudden you become a greater pastor. Because you can do that. You need to do that. So we had this journey and we had to take, and the question was, what is a man? What is masculine? Because if I cannot share that and teach that to my boys by example, but also in understanding, then I don't understand it. And I will make sure after this journey that all three of my boys, and I only have them, I'm going to have to wait for some of your girls later. Not now yet, please. But on this journey, to explain to them, what does it mean to be a man? And here's just some things, and I'm going to be quick. I know our time is almost done. And we want to pray with you, like Danielle said. So, true masculinity, gentlemen, rejects passivity. Passivity is one of those killers of the masculine soul. Gaming until the end of the times. You are gaming your life away. You are passive. You are not a masculine man, even though you have the tools to show it. You are not passive as a masculine man. You do things. You take those things on that needs to be taken on. And Danellis just quickly touched on it. And why do we go passive? We're looking for comfort, gentlemen. Why was I addicted to pornography? Because I was looking for an escapism, a comfort somewhere, which I should have gotten at with God. And I was even in ministry. So I know how tough it can be. When you turn your heart towards God, He's the one that gives you the security. I mean, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. But we go to other stuff, to gaming, to pornography, to drugs, to alcohol, because we are looking for a little bit of comfort. Because this world isn't easy. It's not easy being a man in today's world. Doesn't mean that you can stop being a man. But you need to be, you know, not passive. Revelation 3 verse 15. Jesus doesn't like passivity. Draadsitters. I know your works, they're neither hot nor cold. Would you have been cold or hot? That would be great. But because you are lukewarm, passive, doing nothing, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Ooh. Don't preach so hard. But it's the truth, gentlemen. Don't be passive. You know, the whole Ahab and Jezebel story. And you see that a lot. You know, accusations flying, especially in marriages and stuff. Yeah, but she's like Jezebel. Anyway. Gentlemen, it starts with a passive man. And I'll end it there. Because Ahab was passive. Didn't mean he didn't conquer. He conquered a lot of things. But where it mattered, he was absent. AWOL. Passive. Number two. True masculinity expects God's greater reward. Matthew 6, 3 and 4. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly, says other translations. When you and I, as masculine men, when we know, like the submission thing in the beginning, submitting to God, I'm doing my job. I'm doing everything that I am doing as unto Jesus. Because you expect His reward for what He will give you in this lifetime and when He comes back. That is what masculine men do. They expect God's greater reward. They don't need it from people. Not that you don't tell people, you know, they're great and stuff. Do that. We like that, the ego. Okay, it's good. But the ego is not driven by that. The ego and everything is submitted unto God because His reward and His saying of me is what is most important. And then the third thing, the true masculine man takes responsibility. Genesis 4:6, Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, and here it comes, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you or for you, but you must rule over it. The responsibility lies with you. You must rule over this, Cain. It is crouching at your door. And then the other thing that God says to him there, after he's killed Abel, he says, where's your brother Abel? And he says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Another thing that we as men, as masculine men, do, we look out for other people. We protect. We are our brother's keeper. And we need to do that. We need to take responsibility in the places that we need to take responsibility for. Not be passive, expecting God's greater reward, and taking responsibility. Lastly, true masculinity leads and serves courageously. Jesus, the best example. John 13, 12 to 15. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am so. If then your Lord and your teacher have washed your feet, you also have to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done. Real men, masculine men, they do this. They lead and they serve courageously. And these things that I've seen in my marriage, especially after the pornography thing, it really changed our dynamic. And I know, guys, some of you are sitting here because of problems. You're not struggling with pornography, okay? You're addicted to it. And what it does, it pushes you out of authority, and you feel that you cannot lead. You feel that you cannot serve. You feel unworthy. And then you run again to something else, to the next website or something. Real men, masculine men, they can lead and serve because they're submitted to God, firstly. Sorting out your own stuff. You need to take responsibility for your life, firstly. And then when you've done that, you will feel, okay, I can do that. And it took me time. I told Danielle this last while, you know, the last 4 or 5 years. I really felt able. Not just that I know it's in a position that I have, but I felt really able to lead her. It was one of my most difficult. I had no problem leading a congregation of 150, 200 people. Easy. It's easy for us men to lead in your workplace. You know where the rubber hits the road? Can you lead your wife? So, ladies and gentlemen, as my wife comes up with me, God created us male and female. It is a gift. It is a gift to build. You build differently. You need to know that. And you need to stop competing. And to build in such a way as God has created you to be and to do. Let's stand together.
The building is not only for the men. Proverbs 14 says, a wise woman builds her house, while the foolish one tears it down.
Father, thank you that we can come, Lord, this morning. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, for every masculine soul here. God, I pray, Lord God, that you will bless us. God, I pray, Lord God, that you will bring just conviction where necessary. God, but that there's also grace enough, Lord God, for us to walk in that space, Lord. Grace enough, Lord God, to be the man that you have called us to be. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you will bless every masculine soul here today, God. Lord, to start to become a builder in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord God, for every feminine soul here, God. Lord, as Melissa prayed, Lord God, for us men, God, I pray, Lord, for the women in this place. God, I pray, Lord God, for gentle strength to arise, oh God, from every feminine soul here, God. Father, I pray, Lord God, for every lie, Lord, that was just implanted, embedded, Lord God, through culture into hearts, Lord, that made them hard, God, that made them just not fitting into this whole thing of being gentle. But God, thank you that you have given us just women to show us a cultivation, Lord, a nurturing, and a building in a way that is sometimes just way beyond what we as men, Lord God, can do. But Father, you've given us male and female, masculine and feminine, Lord, to build your church. With the fivefold ministry, Jesus, you've given all of us, oh God, in measure, to build your church. So that that which is built, oh God, can be a testimony to the world outside. Father, we pray, Lord God, that we will do that, God. Become the windows, Lord God, for people to see the power of God as we submit to God, Lord, and start to build as masculine and feminine, secure people in this world, Lord. Submitting, Lord God, to our bosses and people, God. And showing them, Lord God, love and just a way of living, Lord God, that they don't see every day.
Father, I want to pray for every heart, male or female, who feel insecure in their relationship with you. Lord, where there's like trauma or hurt from the past, where a lie crept in to say that you are not faithful, or you were not there, or you were not protecting them. I pray, God, that in this moment now, you will touch that hurt. You touch that brokenness. Lord, I just speak on our behalf forgiveness to those who hurt us and harm us when they were supposed to be protecting us. And Father, thank you that you are always, always near. And that you are close to the brokenhearted, the contrite spirits. You will not neglect. You will not reject. I bring those hurtful hearts to you this morning. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will bring comfort. And Jesus, that you will be the balm of Gilead that brings healing in this moment to those souls. Lord, we renounce every destructive behavior that started from that place of hurt. And as a body, as a congregation, we subject our spirits to your lordship. And we say, you rule and you reign in our lives. Lord, be enthroned in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, in our spirits, in our bodies. I ask for forgiveness, Lord, where we elevate ourselves, where we take control of our situations, where we become arrogant, prideful. I ask that you forgive us, Lord, and renew in us submissive hearts, surrendered to your lordship, surrendered to your lead.
So we're just going to invite those of you to the front that needs to step into something of what the Lord has just showed you this morning. For the masculine here, if you know that you need to make a little bit of a U-turn so that you can become the masculine man that's not passive, that expects the greater reward, that leads and serves courageously and takes responsibility. It starts this morning. It's not something that you're going to fix later. When God speaks, then you respond. And like Daniela said, if there's some of you ladies here that have been hurt, especially in the workplace, you know, just becoming something that you're not supposed to be, and you've lost that gentle strength that God has given you, then we want to pray with you this morning. We believe that we have an impartation to give to the masculine and the feminine this morning, and I won't be here alone. Danelle will be here, and then also other people to pray with you. But take this moment and just respond. So if the Lord spoke to you this morning, please come to the front. Gentlemen, there's a great scripture that it says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. So if the Lord has spoken to you, act like a man, masculine, and come and say, God, here I am. God, I want to change my ways. God, I want to really stand in that place. And especially some men, if you struggle to lead your wife, I know it's going to be humbling, but I want to pray for you that you can become the man that leads strongly and lovingly this morning. So as the band ministers, come to the front. I would like to pray with you. Danelle will be here as well. And as you respond, and there's more people that we can handle, please come and pray with us. Thanks, Mahrit, Melissa.